Mike Langan.
Yo, what's going on, dude?
Man, what's happening, brother?
Nada. Are we, like, on the air now? Like, how does this thing work? I just call in and automatically we're fucking recording?
Yeah, I got it set up on Skype. It's pretty beautiful. Just real quick, I just want to let everybody know this is Mike Langan once again. missed his
dude,
birthday.
You're the only one who listens to your podcast, so you're basically introducing me to you.
No, dude, it's not true. I actually, before you start making fun of me, I just want to say that this podcast is brought to you by Deadpool the Movie with Ryan Reynolds. In theaters now. Things got like, it's so funny. I'm glad I have you on here. I'm telling Mike the other day how great the movie is. He's like, dude, I heard it sucked. But it's gotten like, it's got great reviews on Fried Green Tomatoes or whatever stupid site that is.
So let me get this straight. Ryan Reynolds and the movie, the people who made the movie Deadpool are sponsoring your podcast now?
Absolutely, buddy.
Wow.
I'm doing it, Mike. I'm doing it. It's slow, man. I got to tell you, like, right now, work sucks for me. Like, I'm actually going to New Jersey to work with my brother-in-law's brother tomorrow because it's that
slow. I thought
slow.
Painting was good in the winter. Isn't it, like, perfect weather for painting?
You know what, man? Interiors, yes. But where I live, yeah. Everybody's fucking broke or they're going to wait or they're recovering for Christmas or they didn't get their tax check back yet. And I'm stuck up here, dude. It is fucking brutal. Like, being stuck in Miami wasn't bad. I made good money. It was cool. Came back, you know, I'm getting all my vehicles fixed up, getting ready for the season. A lot of shit's going on, but dude, sitting around, for me, a guy who completely suffers from depression and is bipolar as a motherfucker, it's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah.
So.
I hear you, man. I mean, the only good thing is that where you're at, the cost of living is kind of commensurate with being slow.
It is.
You know, whereas if you're hanging out in Miami, it's kind of hard to have the kind of good time you want to have.
Yeah.
Unless you've got the requisite amount of scratch.
Exactly. You know the thing is, Mike, like, up here, everybody's like, oh, it's so cheap. But you know what, man? To heat your house, I mean, I know heating costs are down. I don't want to bore everybody with this, but, I mean, it still gets expensive, dude. Electric, propane, it gets expensive.
No, I hear you. I just, you know, I mean, I go out to Scranton, you know, I mean, you know the deal. My father was born there. I still have lots of family in that area. So, you know, I go out to Scranton and, you know, I think the last time I was in town, I had a few cousins, you know, that met me out. And we went, you know, we did, like, Cooper's, which nobody who lives in Scranton fucking goes to Cooper's. It's all people who, like, visit there.
Exactly.
But, you know, you have, like, six people eat and drink the whole night, and the bill's under
$200. I know, it's beautiful.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit different. You eat at McDonald's in New Jersey with six people, and you're looking at the same tab for the most part, you know, or Chipotle, for Christ's sake.
It's true. Hey, by the way, for people that don't know, like, I'm sure if you watch The Office, you've heard the references to Cooper's. Cooper's is, like, a seafood house, restaurant, bar, and they've been open forever. And basically on your birthday, you can go there and get a free lobster tail or whatever. And,
is that true?
Yeah, man. And every president of the United States has eaten there, pretty much. I mean, since
They all stop there on the campaign trail, and they have, like, this big thing. Because the jalapeno poppers in that place are off the charts.
They're amazing.
And supposedly, you know, those were Bill Clinton's favorite. You know what I mean?
Dude, so everything was Bill Clinton's favorite.
Yeah, if you lean left and, you know, he's your idol, then you probably want to go hard to the basket and order the jalapeno poppers to feel closer to Bill. Who, by the way, I don't know if you've seen him out on the campaign trail.
Oh my God.
For Hillary.
He's a mess.
But Bill looks like he's got full-blown AIDS this point.
Let me tell you what Hillary told Bill, and this is a breaking, this is an exclusive. She told Bill, if they don't nominate him and I get the presidency and I get in the White House, I'm going to have somebody go down on this old dusty box, and I'm going to get you back.
Could you imagine?
Oh my God, that would be a fucking job.
She's heinous. I'll be honest with you. She might be the least popular female in any capacity that I've seen. Like, she must be, maybe popular is the wrong word. I think people want to like her because she says things that they believe.
Yeah.
But the way that she says them and the lack of charisma that she says them with, she has the highest level of, it's probably not even a word.
Yeah.
Unlikability, is that a word?
It is now.
She's probably one of the most unlikable fucking human beings. When you're losing to a 74-year-old socialist Jew, and I say Jew lovingly. I don't say that with an ounce of hatred or malice towards Jews.
Absolutely.
But let's just face facts. I mean, historically, they're not the most likable people in the world. And there's tons of stories that you can get into that show their worldwide non-likability.
Yes.
When you're losing to a 74-year-old socialist Jew, you probably have a little bit of an issue.
And not only that, you know, like, she's, you're saying she's very lackadaisical with her delivery. Mike, she's got the Clinton Kill Squad behind her. You know about them. I mean, she's just up there, like, she has this, like, aura right now, like, I don't give a fuck if you guys like me or not. I'm going to be president.
Yeah, and you know what? She's probably right. I think in the end, you know, I actually think in the end that Trump and Sanders will both fade away. I know people disagree with me on that, but I think, you know, right now they're both kind of like, you know, political fads for, you know, people who are anti-establishment. But I think the establishment always figures out a way to get it done. And I think once every, you know, what, once you don't have eight guys on the stage for the Republicans,
yeah,
I think most of those delegates and people who are supporting those candidates probably back whoever the establishment backs. And I think that's where, because even in the states where Trump is killing, I think the only one where he's at 50% is Nevada. And I mean, you know, Nevada, I think only 100 fucking people live in Nevada. Everyone else just, you know, flies in and out.
Yeah, they bought a house and left.
Yeah, exactly. Or they foreclosed and they're gone. But, you know, if you look at his poll numbers, he's like 30%. Everyone's like, woohoo. But that means 70% of the Republicans don't like him.
No, I know, exactly.
Potentially. So we'll see. I mean, you know, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But I think in the end, you'll end up with, you know, Rubio versus Hillary, or it'll be establishment versus establishment. Because in the end, the media controls people's opinions. It's obvious. I mean, you hear people regurgitate shit on social media. You read it. And you're like, wow, did you hear? Did you even watch what the man said?
I know.
Or are you just letting some writer tell you what he said?
Well, here's the problem, too, man. Like, when you have a president who, dude, who knows if he's doing a good or bad job? We don't know that. We'll never know. I mean, like you said, the media will spin it either way. The guy could be doing brilliant shit. We'll never know about it. But the thing is, when he comes on TV and says that Trump will not be the next president, I think he should have left that alone, man, because that makes him look even weaker than he already is with public opinion.
I think these, you know, he's got his handpicked successor in Hillary. And, you know, if he's worried about his legacy, I think the other thing, and I mean, people don't really know this, but his great desire would be to, at some point, get a Supreme Court justice appointment for himself.
Yes, I know. That's what he's trying to do, I think. And you know what, dude? What do you feel about Scalia's death? It's just, it seems really like, it just seems like there's a lot going on that's really shady, of course. And,
yeah,
I don't know, dude. I don't know that much about it, but I've just been reading a lot of stuff and hearing some stuff on the news. But a lot of people are unsettled by the way he just was buried so quickly. No autopsy. Just like, let's get him in the ground and move on.
Yeah, I think there's a conspiracy theory about everything. But I mean, if you saw a picture of the guy, he's, you know, he was 79 years old. He looked like Joe Pesci after a fucking eating binge that lasted 10 years. I mean, the guy was obese. I mean, believing that this guy could have died in his sleep is not a stretch for me at all. So,
hey,
you know,
Mike,
and he was
1 second, man. What's up, Mark?
All right, yay. You're too fucking popular for your own podcast.
That's fine. Do what you gotta do, man. Sounds good, brother. All right, sounds good. Thanks, man. All right, later. Yo.
Yeah, that's when you know that you're just too fucking popular.
That's, you know what it is, man? I just, like I said, I'm getting my trucks ready for the season, and my van tires, I mean, dude, I went to New Jersey in the van last week, and, man, I was just like, am I going to make it home? They're just real thin. They're not grabbing the road, so I figured on days where I'm not doing shit, I'll just get that handled, and I still got my truck, so I'm good.
Yeah, that's probably a good use of your time at this point.
Well, when you're busy, everything, like, you can't even get an oil change. Like, your head's spinning. Like, this season, I'm just going to put a bunch of money together. I'm committed till the end of this summer on this lease up here. And I'm going to just make a decision at that point, like, what my next place is going to be. I don't know. I might move to New Jersey. Who knows?
Dude, you might
be roommates, Mike. You know what I'm saying?
You never know. You never know.
Well, listen, a lot of people want to know because, dude, you're pretty popular, man. Everybody laughs, dude. I can't go anywhere without hearing your name, especially my friends are like, dude, your friend kills me on a daily basis. But, like, walk me through the birthday, man. How'd that go?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 45, dude. I mean, they're not happy occasions anymore. It's like a countdown to awful, right? So, yeah, I mean, 45, I worked, right? So there you have it.
Nice.
I tried to like all of the Facebook comments.
Yes, you
did. So I think that's important to be a good virtual friend when somebody takes the time to wish you a happy birthday.
Yes.
You should at least like their comments. So I did that.
You had some special guests on there. You had Gwen. You had a bunch of people on there.
Yeah, it was interesting. Then I had dinner and cake with my kids, who both woke from naps to spend some time with me, which was special.
And then
that was it for the most part. I mean, that's pretty much the whole birthday.
Nice.
In a nutshell. So there's no rip roaring parties. There's no going out anymore. I just sit around and decide, you know, what hurts the most that day, just like every other day.
Yes.
And you know, think about whether I'm halfway through a good life or three quarters of a way through a really shitty one.
Well, it right? sounds like you're doing better financially now, and you've actually starting to put the pieces together for yourself, and that seems like it's going well for you.
Yeah, now the business, I got to knock on some serious wood, and I'm doing that right now, but, you know, it's coming up on 2 years since I left my last corporate job, and, you know, so I had a solid year where I didn't have to worry about anything, you know, because they took care of me when I left, and so I used that, you know, kind of as runway, and, you know, everyone told me, because I had a bunch of friends who said, you know, when you go into, you know, because they went into similar businesses, they said you need at least 18 months to 2 years of runway.
Yes.
Cash-wise. And they were right. That's about what I needed, you know, more towards the 18-month side. But it's starting to hit now. And so 2016 will, you know, 2016 will be the year that, you know, I trump anything that I've done before economically in the past. But 2015, I'm not going to say it was hard. But some things I thought would have broke my way earlier in 2015. But everything's good right now. I mean, we've got tons of shit. We've got more shit coming in than my partner and I know what to do with. So
that's good news, man.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, well, I mean, every time I call you, you're busy as shit. So I always go, all right, man, because I know you're not bullshitting me. And I see, like, you know, even sometimes I know you're working and you're doing your stuff, and then you're still fitting in time to make people laugh, which is great. We all appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm a multitasker. What I like to do is, because I have attention deficit, so if I sit on a, you know, like a lot of what I do, not to get deep in the weeds, but is, you know, people send me stuff that they're buying, right, you know, and then they ask me to price it for them, right, because, you know, I work direct with overseas manufacturers, and I just, you know, I get them better pricing. That's part of what I do anyway. So, but it's real tedious, it's real boring, and I have support people that do a lot of that stuff. So long story short is I have to get on phone calls sometimes where they walk me through stuff,
yeah.
And I'm really not listening when they walk me through it.
Exactly.
At the end, I just ask them to summarize it, and they do. But while I'm on those calls pretending to be engaged in what they're saying, I'm usually on Facebook making myself laugh or trying to offend other people. You know, it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, so. Well, I got to tell you, man, like it's going from like a less mean mic to a way more funnier mic with a couple stab. You know,
I go through cycles.
Yeah.
I go through cycles. I go through mean phases. I'm out of a political cycle now. Like, I refuse to even engage in political discussions on Facebook because it's just like the path to ruin for me. It ruins friendships. It ruins my mood.
Yeah.
It's so gay. You know, like people jump on, like, the ones I love is because I see people all day who post shit that I don't believe.
Yeah.
And what I do is I read it and then I roll my eyes and I continue moving. Like, I don't try and jump in and, like, teach the natives Christianity. And I think a lot of people think that they're going to, like, jump in with something from their progressive left-leaning magazine and educate us all on why we're wrong to feel the way that we do. And I just think, you know, that's what Facebook's kind of become right now, is you wish people happy birthday. You look at pictures of what people are eating. You read about the lives they want you to believe they have, right? These, you know, whirlwind, I'm flying all over God's good earth. I only check in when there's something cool going on.
That's me,
and life
bro.
Is great.
That's
What's
me.
That?
That's me, baby.
Oh, totally you. And but you're not alone. And then there's the people that, you know, want to tell you all about politics. And so for me, if you're not laughing and having fun on Facebook, I typically just hide you. Is what I do. And it's not about your politics offending me. It's just about you largely being uninteresting and having nothing left to say. Because nobody ever leaves a Facebook trail saying, wow, you know what? I never thought of it that way. And I've just changed my opinion because so-and-so weighed in. It's never happened in the history of social media.
Oh, dude, we're already regurgitating and recycling memes. I mean, I hear you. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, like, I get work off of Facebook. And like I said, I got friends worldwide. So it's cool to just pop in, see what they're doing, see their kids growing up. I think that's cool. But I got to tell you, man, like, the last couple weeks, just to send me prayers shit, I'm like, oh, my God, prayers needed. just stuff like that. I'm just like, all right, all right. I mean, it's cool. Like, it's like vague booking because then you have to go, what's up? Oh, yeah. My dog's having an operation on its right paw. What the fuck do you need prayers for that for?
Yeah, I don't do a couple of things on Facebook. I never send prayers, right?
Yeah.
But I also don't like and share if I agree.
Yeah.
Like, even if I do agree. Like, I could agree vehemently, but I feel like, first of all, I don't like being told what to fucking do, right? So there's an inner defiance there. And second, I just don't like following. So to me, if you're directing me in any capacity to like and share if I agree,
yeah,
I have those two instant emotions that go to battle for me, and I refuse to like and or share, and I might even change my opinion to go against what I previously thought just because you told me that I needed to like and share it. Like, so, that's how big of a douchebag I am, actually.
So basically, you fucking hate everything about me.
Yeah, I don't like the liking and sharing stuff is, it's not cool at all.
All right.
It's a waste of space. And there's some good memes that are ruined,
yeah,
because at the bottom it says like and share. And sometimes what I'll do actually is I'll actually assign myself a cropping project where I send myself the meme and crop the please like and share if you agree portion out so that I can reuse the top half of the meme.
I like that, man. That's working.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
The thing is too, man, like, if some dude's falling on his face or just falling down steps, I got to share that dude. I just have to.
Yeah, that's not bad, though. Like, okay. That's different. That's, you know, that's having fun at somebody else's expense, and that's what the majority of my life's been about, is having fun at somebody else's expense. I don't particularly find slip and falls as funny as some might, but I don't get offended by them.
Well, here's the thing. Here's where I use you, Mike, basically. So I've been contacted from people at Sirius, and, they like hearing, they think I got the craziest, funnest friends, and I've only a couple podcasts in. Like, your podcast 7. So when I use guys like you to appear more interesting to try to get to my ultimate goal, and that's doing nothing except talking, and that's all I ever fucking do anyway. So I really appreciate you as a friend, dude.
Wow. Your ultimate goal is to do nothing but talking, huh?
Well, and get paid.
I mean, if you could get paid for just sitting around and bullshitting with your friends,
yeah,
then you're truly living the American dream, right?
Like, if one more person says, you got to do a podcast with Langan, basically this is how I translate that. Dude, I'm glad you know Langan, and thanks for introducing him to us on Facebook. Can you shut the fuck up and let him be funny?
Yeah, I haven't listened to it. I mean, I thought you were done doing podcasts for a while.
Oh, dude, my dad, like, I've just been doing, I've just been trying to help out my sister and go see my dad as much as possible. Like I said, work's been slow. I was out of town for 10 days. So, yeah, I was already like, fuck, am I over that already? But I'm not. I just gotta, like, I'm trying to get some people on here that, you know, they can't get on because there's an article coming out in Rolling Stone and they can't talk about anything. Like, I'm trying to get some people that people will be interested in listening to. And you're definitely one of the guys who brings up my numbers. I know this should be an offline conversation. But, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. I don't give a shit if I'm even doing podcasts for our Facebook friends. I was going to do a show where I just post a number as a status and people just call in and just give me 1 or 2 or 3 minutes catching up, and then until the next phone call comes in. People would listen to that. That shit's funny, man. People want to hear voices. They want to hear what somebody sounds like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and, it's a form of communication that's actually, it's kind of dying on the vine because, you know, people actually don't like talking to each other anymore.
Oh, it's,
you know, they'd rather text and, you know, because you could look at your phone and you could decide whether or not you want to have that conversation right now,
yeah,
and just put that shit off for later. And that's how most people, you know, tend to view social interactions now.
That's how exactly what you do to me. And now I know, and I appreciate you being honest.
Well, I mean, that's what I do to everyone. I mean, if I'm in the middle of something, I can't always, we're all the same way. You can't always just immediately drop whatever you're doing to get involved in something, or just drop in a moment's notice, you know, to go do something because you've got previous commitments. You know, we've all got families and jobs and shit. So it's become convenient to not really talk live with people.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost, it's helped it to become like an art form now. That's how podcasts actually work, is because people are so devoid of hearing people actually speak to each other,
yeah,
that it's almost, lets them live vicariously through conversations they no longer have themselves.
Well, here's the deal, too. Like, I've noticed this. Like, a lot of people, when I first, you know, of course, I got a lot of friends that do podcasts that are really popular, right? So, like Bill Burr's listened to our podcast. I got friends who are, like, pimping it out to people. Britt actually pimps it out to a lot of people, which is awesome. And that's probably why I got some, you know, some people looking at me. But, dude, the funny part is, to me, like, when I, everybody wants to do it, and then I'll say, hey, how about tomorrow? Whoa. What do you mean tomorrow? What are we talking about? Like, you get all nervous. You know what? People say, my biggest thing is, dude, it sounds like we're eavesdropping in on a conversation. That's okay. I'm okay with that, dude. I'm not doing what everybody else does. I listen to other podcasts, dude. I got to tell you, even if they have a good guest on, it's fucking horrible. A lot of the content's really bad. It's too, you know, like me and you can go off the cuff all day. A lot of people are scripted, and a lot of people are editing shit. And, like, we know how to make fun of each other and other people, and that's why the shit works. People get... I got friends that I can still insult, and they won't talk to me for 2 years. I mean, it's like, if you don't know who I am by now, then maybe it's better that way. But I enjoy people, like, that are just... I mean, people from the East Coast, I love all my West Coast friends, but people from the East Coast, we always got something, five things going on, and we're ready to talk about three of them at any point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, that's a good and a bad thing, I guess. But, one thing I will say, you know, and obviously I'm not breaking new ground with this statement, but people on the West Coast just become, you know, different, you know, even if they're from the East Coast. When you spend too much time on the West Coast, it's almost like it's like an entire fucking state filled with nothing but social justice peer pressure.
Yeah.
So I always wonder how much of it's real and how much of it is just, you know, they have to say it because they'll alienate their gay neighbors.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not picking on gays, but you get the point. You know, or their Mexican neighbors, whatever the social justice issue of the day is. I mean, I remember, you know, I weighed in. I won't say the person's name, but, you know, when Michael Sam got drafted, you know, the last pick in the draft a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't even say anything, like, anti-gay. I just was like... You know, like, what was it really necessary for there to be, like, the cake smash moment? Like, to me, it actually set the gay movement back, the way that they had a camera crew on site. So I just asked the question on one of your friend's trails at the time.
Yeah.
And, dude, I got fucking lit up. I mean, lit up. Everyone on that trail immediately became a fucking gay rights vagina.
I know,
and,
dude.
It was, and I didn't say anything. I didn't say, wow, he's gay, he shouldn't be able to play. I was just kind of like, wow, he was the last pick in the draft, and they had cameras set up in gay bars, they had cameras set up in his hotel, in his house, and him and his, you know, I was going to call him a twink,
yeah.
But that would come across as anti-gay, and I'm not.
Okay.
But they had, like, his undersized white boyfriend who was, like, smashing cake, and then they were making out and eating the cake. And I just thought to myself, like, you know what? If you're watching the draft with your kid...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough conversation. That's a conversation you didn't anticipate needing to have.
Yeah.
And to me, it almost seemed like a gratuitous misuse of the moment.
Yeah.
Rather than just showing this guy happy for what he accomplished and the fact that he was drafted and the first openly gay person...
Yeah.
He should have been wearing fucking cheekless ass chaps.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And, you know, it almost made it seem like a Pacino cruising type moment. And that's the caricature that a lot of anti-gay America has. And that was the only point I was trying to make. But nobody heard a fucking thing I said and just went full-blown cunty on me.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah. Very rarely do I delete comments and just remove myself from a thread. But that was the one time where I think later, actually, I unfriended the person, too, because it just got to be... It almost seemed like any time I posted something that, you know, went off the grid a little bit,
yeah,
I was getting lectured. And I was just like, you know what? I mean, when you become that big of a fucking chore for me to, you know, have a talk with,
yeah,
we should probably talk a lot less.
Well,
you
let
know?
Me tell you something. When we all moved out to California... you know, we're East Coast guys. Everything was, you're gay, you're a fag. Look at this fag, look at that homo. Like, it's not that we hated him, but we just make fun of him. But the same person now is the one sticking up for him. It's really funny to me. And, dude, as, like, you're talking about socialists and everybody in California, dude, my own son, like, he's just, I'm losing touch with this kid as far as anything goes. Like, yeah, you vote for whoever you want, but it just seems like it's just a big brainwashing thing going out there. It just, no one's...
Well, but think about it. The liberals and the peace, love, and understanding generation of the '60s,
yeah,
they became the Reagan Republicans of the 80s, right? So they became the greed is good generation. So young people historically have always been dumb and impressionable and wide open for stupid ass politics. So Bernie Sanders is really appealing to the, I mean, the lowest common denominator amongst the human race for people at that age. They're unemployed. They've never worked for anything. Their whole life has been given to them up until that point. If they're in college at all, it's because somebody's paying for them to be there in most cases. I mean, I know there are people who put themselves through school. So these kids don't understand anything that doesn't involve everything being given to them. So when you have an old 74-year-old guy who looks like he just brought Michael J. Fox back in a fucking DeLorean telling them that their whole life's going to be free forever, what wouldn't be cool about that message?
That's true. Dude, I never even thought of it that way because I just haven't really followed that guy too much, but it does make a lot of sense. And, dude, this generation coming up is the one that's going to take care of us. And not to steal a fucking line from The Breakfast Club, but that's the fucking thought that keeps me awake at night.
Yeah. No, you know, but they'll change. And honestly, I'm going to go on record right now and say that there is not a fucking snowball's chance in hell that Bernie Sanders wins the presidency of the United States. I mean, I think it's nice that people think it's a reality, and I know that there's a lot of good intentions behind the message, but in a general election where people really start to pick apart this guy's economic plan, and, you know, companies begin to really threaten to pull out. I mean, he wants to break up big banks. He wants to raise the corporate tax to insane levels. He's going to do more to create a permanent welfare state, because all the jobs are going to leave. Nobody's going to stay. What corporation with shareholders is going to want to stick around and pay the types of tax rates that this guy's proposing to fund all these programs? I mean, he's talking about $18 to $21 trillion annually in government-funded programs. It's insanity. We're already $20 trillion in debt.
I know, it's out of control.
That's stupid. So, you know, nice guy, nice message. He's never held a real job in his life either. So, yeah, I mean, if you read this guy's life story, he's essentially accomplished nothing. He's been a socialist his whole life. He's, you know, it's insane. So, but your son's the perfect age demographic, and my kids get their heads filled with all that shit too. I mean, my kids are younger, but all their friends are pulling for Bernie Sanders because it's the fun thing to do.
Oh,
yeah, and Trump represents evil for everyone, right? You know, making profits, getting rich, you know, all that other stuff.
Well,
you know,
the thing is that, well, you'd have to work at that, Mike, and like you were saying, nobody wants to fucking do that anymore. Dude, you can't get anybody to shovel the snow in front of your house. These fucking kids, and when it snows out, they're celebrating that night because they know they get their army together, who's going to fight on fucking whatever bullshit games out there. And that's what they're doing now. Like, there's been times where I've called my son when he was on vacation, and I know for a fact the only time he left that room is to get something to eat or go to the bathroom. And he's been on those games, Halo, with his friend, or whatever it is. I don't even want to say that. I fucking hate all that shit. These kids are lazy.
You know what, though? We sound like the same. Our parents said the same shit about us. It was different, but they thought we were the worst generation. Their parents said the same thing about them. I think that being a kid today, I'm glad I grew up when I did, to be honest with you, because we were kind of, you know, one of the last generations, at least, to not have their lives consumed by, you know, 400 cable channels and video games that, you know, let you create yourself as an avatar and, you know, live like in these alternate universes. I mean, we were the last generation of people who actually drank in the woods and, you know, tried to score. And, you know, I mean, these kids now, I mean, the closest they come to a fist fight is on a fucking message board somewhere. You know what I mean? They're on a Bleacher Report article during an argument. I mean, so they're not living their lives. And, you know, to me, that's what bothers me, is when I'm out, like, golfing or whatever, I look at it as, wow, you know, I have 4.5 to 5 hours alone with my son, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's sitting over there fucking Snapchatting.
I know.
You know what I mean? He's sitting, you know, there's not enough. So their brains are like overstimulated by this shit. To me, it's doing way more damage than good. And there's so much information now on the internet, but most of it's disinformation. So these kids, you know, you're planting thoughts in their mind and presenting things as if they're facts when they're really editorials. And so, you know, they're confused because we've designed it for everyone to be confused. You said it earlier. You don't know right now Who do you believe? Do you believe the people that say Obama is great and that unemployment's no longer a problem? Or do you believe the people that say there's 94 million less people working now than there was when Obama took office? And the only reason that the rate is at 5% is because those people are assumed, because they're no longer collecting benefits, to no longer be looking for work.
I know.
So the answer probably resides somewhere in the middle. But that's not where we live. We live at extremes, right? So.
Well, my problem is, like, when I was listening to the last State of the Union address, every single thing he said was everything that he got made fun of for not doing. And I'm like, dude, what the like, we don't know shit. We're so in the dark. I really feel like we need to step up and just say, listen, if one party wins, the other party has to work with them, or we're getting rid of both. We're going to have one party. It's going to be one. I don't give a fuck. A king. Everybody's going to work together because they're getting nothing done except being cunty and bitchy back and forth. Somebody has an idea, the other side wants to shoot it down or make it as difficult as possible. There's just so much wrong with it. And people, like, now are getting into it. And like you said, these younger kids, they're not getting the right information. And they're firing off comments. And I'm just like, oh, my God, we're in such fucking trouble. Because the media could tell. Dude, if the media, if somebody in a small neighborhood made a comment that somebody's a fucking pedophile, and then 3 people heard it, then 10 people heard it, then next thing you know, 200 people heard it. That guy is a full-blown pedophile. He doesn't know what happened. People are talking. People look at him and judge and point their finger. And that's where we become, dude. Like, that's really, people are, they just get on board. They're lazy. They just get on board with it. Well, if a lot of people are talking about it, it must be true. And that's a fucking big issue, man. And until we conquer
that. Who's the pedophile we're talking about right now? Did somebody accuse you?
No, dude, no. I'm just saying, I'm making it, because that's a pretty, that's something.
I thought I missed an update in the life of Joe Howard.
No, not at all. Dude, come on.
Yeah, I didn't know. You know, people change, you know, so.
No, man. Thing is, like, dude, like, I live for my kids, even though they're not with me every day. Like, you're lucky, get to hang out with them and see them. I wish they were, like, Bree's in the same state as me, but that kid has got a life. I got to make an appointment to go see her. I mean, that kid's a socialite. She's working. She's got a million friends, and she travels all over the place. I mean, she's doing what she wants to do. Nicholas, on the other hand, he's in the house with his mom, getting ready to get married again, and just the kid that's waiting to go into the Navy, that's trying as hard as he can to not work before he goes to the Navy. It's unbelievable. I love
it. Your son's going into the Navy?
Dude, he scored so high on his exam that he's going into nuclear science for the Navy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, he's a genius kid. I mean, as far as computers go, and, like, dude, he's a great kid. He's, like, he's loved by all. He's got a kind heart. He's got his mom's heart. Very smart. But he's one of those kids who's smart because he's lazy, but he's so smart so he could be lazy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if he went full-born, just that I'm just going to not be lazy and smart at the same time, he could take over.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people like that. I mean, you kind of, I don't know. It's, you know, I'm not going to knock somebody for being smart and lazy. It's kind of how I've crafted my entire life, to be honest with you. I mean, my idea of success is to never work as hard as you have to. I mean, because, you come into this life knowing that you're going to die someday, right? So, you know, knowing that you die at the end should make you kind of stop, slow down, and enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you got to take care of your responsibilities. To me, I would never want somebody, that somebody being the government or being, you know, somebody, you know, an agency of the government taking care of me or in some manner leveling the playing field or creating what they believe is fair or what should define my success for me. And I don't know why so many kids are signing up for that right now, because that's all this is. I mean, if you read the fine print, there's no way. First of all, if Bernie Sanders wins, which he won't, I'll say again,
yeah.
I'm making that bold claim right now. He will never win the presidency. I doubt he'll win the nomination, but if he does get nominated, he'll get fucking destroyed. And the Republicans would love nothing more than to face him in a general election. They fear Hillary more than they do him. But let's say he gets elected.
Yeah.
You've still got a Republican majority in both houses of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this Orwellian bullshit do you think he's passing through Congress?
I know, dude.
It's so dumb. I mean, so for people to get that spun up about, first of all, he's 74. He could die this summer before the fucking election happens.
That's true.
Statistically, he should. die this summer because he's going like gangbusters.
I know.
So to me,
dude, do you like his Black Posse?
What's
the guy's,
that?
The guy's rolling with like this Black Posse, dude. It's pretty funny.
I haven't seen it. I know that he's very much pandering right now for the black vote because it's the one you know cliche Democratic stronghold in elections that he didn't have the clear advantage in. I mean, he owns young people. He owns a greater percentage of women than they anticipated because apparently, you know, there are some smart women out there who see through the fucking games that, you know, Hillary's playing with Madeleine Albright. I mean, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, comes out and says there's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You're literally trying to conflate not supporting Hillary with a cause to go to hell. I mean, you know, come on, grow up.
Well, let me tell you something, man, I wanted to say this earlier, but sometimes you're hard to stop, and you're good, man. You get on that flow. Dude, if you're on welfare, if you're on any kind of government assistance, they send you form. You have to vote Democrat. You can't. Yeah, no, it's no joke. I live in a red state, okay? And there's a ton of people on welfare around me.
You live in a blue state.
I do?
Yeah, Pennsylvania is a Democratic stronghold.
I thought it's Republican. I see all of
them. No, not in a national election. I don't think that Pennsylvania has been carried by a Republican since Reagan.
Damn.
All yeah, right. No, it's a very Democratic state. It's one of the more economically depressed states in the Union.
You think?
I mean, Pennsylvania is, I mean, there's parts of it, I hate to say it, but I mean, even downtown Scranton. I used to stay in a hotel down, if you go down the hill on Mulberry Street.
Yeah.
I used to stay as a kid, and I remember it vividly. There was like, I want to say it was, there was a Best Western, and there was a Holiday Inn, and they were within blocks of each other. And when I tell you, Joe, they were never, I mean, Best Westerns and Holiday Inns have never been five-star joints.
Yeah.
I wasn't raised in a five-star family, so when we went back and we stayed in hotels, we stayed where we could afford.
Yeah.
But they were nice hotels. Like, you could use the pool, shit like that. You know, like, you could go out and play, you know, do whatever. I go back there now. They're like crack dens.
Dude, it's coming back, though, but I know what you mean. And the place that you're talking about, you could walk to Cooper's from there.
Yeah. Well, what is it, on Wyoming or whatever?
Yeah, dude, I know exactly what you're talking about. And you know what? I'll tell you, The U is keeping the place going. The University of Scranton is keeping Scranton going. But,
oh, yeah. And it's a great university.
It is. And you know the thing? But when a mall closes and there's a university four blocks away, that's a big issue. But the thing is, now it's coming back. Now they're putting money into it. And now they're chasing everybody out. Like, it's already happening.
Yeah, this is what I would say. I'm all for people who are, because you never want to have an underclass that you pay no attention to, you give no opportunity to, and you deny the ability to provide food and shelter for the people that they bring into this world. I'm all for government assistance.
Mm-hmm.
What I am for also is if you're able-bodied, you should be performing a public works project or something that benefits the community. So you know what? Set up work details, give out schedules, and anyone who's not home shitting out kids constantly to stay on assistance, who has free time, because they all should, they should be down power washing, removing graffiti, cleaning parks, doing whatever under the supervision, and give back to the community and maybe learn some job skills while you're doing it and earn your social assistance. It shouldn't be an entitlement program that generations of people kind of look to as their path. And that's what's happening is you don't see people, you know, a large segment of people who are on government assistance who are on it for a short time and then jumping back into the working class. You see cyclical generations of people where mothers, daughters, and grandmothers have all been on government assistance and they've never done a fucking thing but shit out kids. So to me, it's a cycle of lunacy. But to your point, one party definitely benefits from it because they're building a voting constituency, right?
Absolutely, man.
And you could turn it around and say, with tax breaks to the rich and to corporations, that Republicans kind of do the same thing, and you'd be right. So I'm not saying that one party is any better or any worse than the other. I lean more towards one than I do the other, but I try and understand the issues from both sides.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with giving somebody money to live if they're falling upon hard times, but earn it.
No,
do something. That's all I'm saying.
You know why they don't go off? Because, like you said, generations are on. And then once they start, like, let's say Okay, your car insurance. Let's say Mike Lanyon is a day late with your car insurance. Well, 12 o'clock the night before, that's when you got cut off. So now your car is sitting there until you call them up. Like, oh, shit, I'm a day late. My bad. Well, your car's sat there uninsured for however many hours. But when these people don't do something or don't, you know, return a form filled out or re-up, they just call and like, hey, can you come down? Do we need to send someone to your house? They make it so easy, and because there's no interest in it. There's no money being made, really, to check up on people like that. And they got like a free run. I've watched it, dude. Dude, believe me, my daughter used to work at a grocery store when she was in high school. And when I tell you, 9 out of 10 people that came in that store were paying with access cards. It's just the area we live in. This is an area that we need New Yorkers and New Jersey and Connecticut people to come buy a house, come spend their summers here, come spend their money, you know, open up a couple of barbecue joints to keep them happy. But dude, when they leave, I'm telling you, man, people are fighting over nickels over here. And like, I can't even, if you don't have your own business up here, seriously, you're on assistance or you are basically just as poor as you're ever going to see. I mean,
yeah. I mean, think about it this way. And this was a national news story that they had Scranton on. Which, by the way, this is the most serious fucking podcast you've ever had in your life. Thanks. But my uncle was a captain in the Scranton Fire Department. He's, you know, since deceased, you know, probably, you know, since like 05, you know, around that time frame.
Yeah.
But they have I want to say now that they don't get medical coverage. They're getting paid like $9 an hour to be firemen.
That's crazy. So the cops make like $12 an hour here, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they've really kind of, they've taken the, you know, like the almost the civil servant entitlement program, right? Where, you know, a lot of people, you never become a cop or a fireman necessarily, paid fireman to get rich, right? But
yeah,
you can make a lot of money. I'm not disparaging what they make. You know, you work overtime, but it's really kind of a total compensation view where you get really good benefits, you know, 20 and out retirement plan, et cetera. When you're making $9 and $11 an hour or whatever the fuck it is,
yeah,
I mean, you're basically working a target at that point, only that you have a gun and somebody might shoot at you now.
I know. It's really sad, dude. It's sad.
And Scranton, just so that you know, my father was raised in the Green Ridge section of Scranton. So if you know where Capousa Avenue is,
yes,
he lived in a house. It was 215 New York Street, right off of Capousa.
Yeah.
So a few years back when my son and I went up, I think we were supposed to get together and golf that weekend, but you were gone.
Yeah.
But we went up, we stayed like Montage Mountain area, and we played some courses up by Lake Winola, you know, all the way up in the little mountain area there.
Yeah.
And but we took a ride by after dinner one night to see my grandfather's house where my father was raised. And I got out of the car, I swear to God, it looked like the fucking set of The Walking Dead.
I know.
Literally, there were just people walking around everywhere where I was like, you know, you figure that's 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I think. So my son was maybe 11 at the time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? It's time to get out of here if you're a honky. You know what I mean? Like, it just, the neighborhood wasn't the same one that I used to hang out in when I was a kid.
Well, the thing is, too, man, heroin's a huge problem up here. And when you posted that thing last week about not knowing anybody who's been shot, but you've known 10 people to die of that, dude, it is rampant up here. Like, it's sad, dude. And a lot of people, they're like falling on hard times, so they'll sell it, and then they start using it, and then it's game over. Now people are breaking windows to steal your change out of your car. I mean, this area has gotten really bad with heroin. I think we have a heroin task force, dude. I mean,
really?
Yeah, that's their fucking full-time job, is to bust people that are doing heroin or selling it or bringing it in, and they are fucking busy. Dude, it's crazy. And they are cleaning it up. They're cleaning up the problem. They're cleaning up Scranton. It's happening already. But, yeah, when I first moved up here with my family, dude, I loved going to Scranton. Like, that whole area was the restaurants, even the mall for Christmas shopping. And now it's like, damn, like, you know, 10 stores are open in the whole mall. I mean, it's out of control.
Yeah.
But now somebody bought it, and they're fixing it up again. It'll be back. It just takes time, dude.
Yeah, one of the sites, by the way, because, you know, without going into too many specifics, but, you know, part of the stuff that I talked about that my business is doing now, you know, is we're selling what we call, like, telecom consumables. So, like, you know, patch cords, cables, you know, just stuff that you need in that, you know, voice and data space. And so we've been selling on behalf of somebody, and my buddy and I are talking about taking down, you know, warehouse space and doing it ourselves, just ordering direct and cutting out the guys that we're selling for. You know, and it's kind of like a 2 or 3 year plan, but we've actually gone so far as to look at sites. And one of the sites that is on our list to be considered, it's like a 35,000 square foot facility in Pittston.
Oh yeah, Pittston.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I had an uncle who lived in Pittston. He's still buried there. So, I mean, technically, I guess he, in some states, still lives there. But my partner lives and is based in Rochester, New York, which is right up I-81. Mm-hmm. And you know where I live. So it's kind of like the halfway point.
Yep.
So in the very near future, I could probably be spending 2 weeks of every month out in the Scranton area anyway, because we would probably just alternate.
Yeah.
Like, I'd work 1 week, go home. He'd work 1 week, go home. I'd come back the next week, type of thing.
Yeah.
Because you'd need on-site presence. But it'd probably be a warehouse and distribution center that we build there, because it's dirt cheap.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. Plus we got, you know, you got FedEx Hub here. You got a UPS Hub right here. Midnight Express. You got everything up here.
Yeah, so, and you have an eager workforce. Plus, you know, I mean, I have some family in that area, and you know what, one of the pluses would be, you know, I could have, you know, like a cousin or an uncle that actually ran it for me.
Yeah.
And gave me some time to, you know, not have to be sitting in a distribution center all day, you know, because I'm not looking to turn myself into a, you know, a warehouse worker necessarily.
Yeah.
But you want to have people that you can trust, because the type of shit that we're selling is not exactly cheap. So when you keep it as stock on the shelves, I mean, there's always the threat that people are going to come in and strip cables for copper and all that bullshit, you know.
Absolutely.
To support whatever heroin habit they have.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Hey, listen, if you did that, though, it wouldn't be any different than, you know, you're in an office, you're doing your thing, and you peek out the window, you walk the floor for a minute for lunch and a minute before people leave, and, you know, go out there and just do, you give them the Mike Langan talk. And
just,
you know,
crack the whip, right?
Exactly, dude. So it wouldn't matter really where you are, but if you're hands-on and they see a 6'5" guy come walking through, they're going to be like, shit, I ain't stealing nothing from this place.
Yeah, well, I mean, originally we were going to do it in Rochester, but, you know, that's too much traveling for me, to be frank. So, I mean, you know, a two-hour ride into Scranton, where I've got tons of family in the area.
Yeah.
You know, plus there's part of me, and this is about as emotional as I'll get.
Yeah.
But, you know, my father was from there, and it really kind of depressed him how bad it was getting. And my father died in 2003.
Yeah.
So, you know, it bothered him that there was no real opportunity there and that the economy sucked and people were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So there's part of me that probably wouldn't mind building it there and having it succeed there.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to fucking dedicate it to my father or name the building after him or anything, but, you know, just as like out of respect to him, to say, you know what, here you go, dude. You know, put your area on the map a little bit, you know?
And not only that, dude, it's just like, I know when you go to Chicks or you go to places around there, it's good to be reminded of all the good times when you were young, you know?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I've actually, on the way back from Rochester when the weather was better, I've actually stopped at Lake Scranton just to stretch my legs and walked around the fucking lake.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, it's really nice. I used to run it. I couldn't run a quarter of the way around that thing right now without needing my cardiologist there with paddles.
I'm telling you, dude, that place it's gorgeous. That's why I live up here, man. I do. I love it up here. I think it's amazing. And once it picks up for me, I'll be better. But right now,
yeah.
Dude, this is the only winter in 12 years that I've been up here that I'm not fucking like suffering from depression. Like, I'm keeping busy. I joined the Y. I'm like hanging out with my aunt, my cousins up here, hang out with Joe. Like, I keep busy, man, because I know I just got to. Like, today I was like, man, I could sleep all day, but I'm like, fuck it. I got up and did some things and try to, I got to spend my money just to know I have to get it back. So that's why I do stuff that needs to get done now. And it just forces me to keep at it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been lucky. You know, I know people, you know, obviously yourself included, I know people who struggle with that. I've never really had, you know, those ups and downs, you know, where I felt like I was depressed.
Yeah.
But I appreciate people going through it, and I don't deny that it's real. I mean, a lot of people look at that and say, oh, well, that's just somebody who's lazy or, you know. So I get it. I mean, and weather certainly has a lot to do with it. I mean, there's a reason why people kill themselves at a higher rate in places like Seattle, right? Because it rains 250 days a year.
Dude, I'm on a dose of vitamin D that could probably, you know, be fine for a family in New Jersey. Like, seriously, like, I'm on a high dose of that stuff. But, I mean, I do it Like, the only thing, the stigma with it is, oh, he's not depressed or lazy. He's fucking nuts. That's the only thing that sucks. That's why people shut up about it. So, like, when someone kills themselves, you go, oh, man, I had no idea. That motherfucker seemed happy all the time. Yeah, because he wasn't telling anybody what he was going through. Because then he gets labeled, and everybody's like, oh, the crazy guy. Hey, crazy guy, are you all right to do some overtime, or are you going to kill somebody? You know what I mean? And that's the truth. I've been through it, dude. Trust me. So
It is what it is. I mean, it's, you know, what it really seems to come down to, though, is finding the right, you know, medications that work for you. Because, you know, what fixes one person with identical symptoms to you could make you agitated and, you know, more aggressive or more depressed even than somebody, you know, somebody else. So
you went on a record, and I'm going to go on a record right now. I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that helps being bipolar and depressed is exercise. I don't give a shit what kind of poison they're trying to peddle. I don't give a fuck. I've been on all of them 3 times, dude. Everyone, I've been on over 30 different prescriptions. I've been on everything. The only thing that works, and I'm going to tell you this, and for hundreds of thousands of listeners now, dude, the only thing that works is taking a 1 St. John's wort. It's a pill after every time I eat and getting at least 20 minutes of exercise a day. If I do that, I'm like a normal fucking person, or what people think is normal. I think
closer to normal.
I think being bipolar is giving me advantages, Mike. Like I've actually been able to have the energy and do stuff, some things that I would normally would never do, and because maybe the idea seems crazy, but maybe I take that chance and I win. So I think when people are normal, they, oh my God, I'm nervous, I'm scared, and they don't pull the trigger, and they'll never know their true potential. But in my case, if my true potential, if I take a chance and I fail, oh well. It's just a crazy guy taking a shot. So it don't matter to me. I just do whatever I want to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've never woken up and had like the thought like, oh, you know, today I want to, you know, I just want to go out there and conform. You know what I mean?
Exactly, dude.
So, you know, I think there's something to be said for being a little bit off. And I certainly consider myself, you know, to be a little bit off. I put it this way. I know that I have conversations and I post things and I talk with my kids sometimes about things where afterwards I'll think to myself, like, if 10 parents just handled that same interaction, would any of the other 9 have handled it the way you did? And invariably the answer, if I'm being honest, is no.
Exactly. But you know what? Like little Mikey, he'll be world ready and he's getting the real deal answers. So it's not a fucking Disney show. It's real. So he's not going to be shocked when it comes like to fruition. And when something happens, he's gonna be like, dude, that's exactly the way my dad said it was going to go down. And that's because you've been on the top and been at the bottom. Same thing with me. I've been everywhere. Poor. I've had money at one time. I've been in the middle. I've had a family. I've struggled. Dude, I'm coming up on 11 years with my arm. Let me tell you something. For a guy who suffers from depression to go through the fucking traumatic experience of almost losing my arm and still being here and, you know, still working. Dude, I didn't think I was going to get laid again. Like, I didn't. Dude, while I was in there in the hospital.
Well, I mean, have you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have.
Oh, all right.
A ton of times.
I didn't know.
A ton of times. But listen, the thing is, when I was in the hospital and my life is on the line, my wife is out cheating on me. taking advantage of those couple months of me being in the hospital. That's like, that's like, so you weigh it all out and like, it's a win for me because just to keep it together and to still, even though I own my own company and to still work with my old company where I feel like those guys have been super patient with me through the years and all my craziness. And the same thing, like I give Laurel a pass for dealing with my crazy ass for all that time and my old job. But people think I'm funny and I'm likable. They like me around. But at the end of the day, I am a hard worker and I do care about people. And I'm interested in making things better, not worse. So,
yeah.
So I always.
Well, those are all good things. I mean, but, you know, there are some things that, you know, you have to reel it in. I mean, you know, people, I had an old boss who used to, you know, he said to me one time, he's like, you know what, Mike? He said, you always say what everyone else is thinking, but at some point in your life, you're going to wonder why you're always the only guy who says it.
I know. I'm the same.
You know what I mean? So,
yes.
You know, I try and pick my spots a little bit better now because, you know, I did well in corporate life. I won't name the company I work for, but you know it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I rose through the, you know, through the, you know, I reported to the CEO before I left. So, I mean, I was, you know, considered C-level at the time.
Yeah,
and I don't have a college degree. You know, I was never the Ivy League guy. I had guys who were the Ivy League guy who worked for me. So, you know, and maybe we're the last generation that can do stuff like that, because, you know, now it's vital. I mean, to become a cop, for Christ's sake, or to enter the military now, if you want to have, you know, kind of the cherry jobs, you know, they advocate you go in with a college degree. So the world has changed, and there's a premium put on things that maybe weren't there before.
Yeah.
But I, you know, there are some things I look back on, you know, meetings that I was in or things that I said in the moment and think, wow, you know what? I probably could have polished that turd a little bit before I dropped that one.
No, you're right. My life is, did I end the Chappelle episode when keeping it real goes wrong? And the one good thing is I got you around sometimes when I'm having an off day. Like, no one can detect it more than you. And you're like, dude, deactivate immediately.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I see with you is what I'll notice with you is sometimes, and I mean, I post a lot too, so I mean, I can't really, but I'm normally like a 2 posts a day max guy.
Yeah.
Unless something happens, like in a news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, my news feed will be 94% Joe Howard, and they're all like within the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's like 11 rapid fire posts, and I'll think to myself, like, he's in the middle of a fucking manic episode right now.
Well, bro, I've been really monitoring that situation, and I think I've been doing better.
Yeah, no, and that's what it's all about, right? Is every day we should all be aspiring to do better in some form or fashion than we did yesterday. And I'm not saying that it's wrong that, you know, you do what you do, but I can usually detect it that way. I'm like, oh, okay, so he woke up today, and, you know, he's going to use whatever he's going through right now to get a lot of shit off his chest. Or maybe you had a lot of memes that were saved that you were kind of like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to post this one. And then you just figure, fuck it, I'm posting everything.
True. And yeah. You said earlier that, like, this is the most serious podcast. But guess what, dude? People like 2 things. Well, they like 3 things. They like smart. They like funny. And they love Mike Langan, man. So I'm glad that you took the time out of this. Is it Thursday?
It is Thursday, actually.
Fuck. See, like, when you don't work for a couple days, like, right now I thought it was Friday. All right, so anyway, that fucking's bad news for me.
No, as a matter of fact, tomorrow is I'm going to a Knicks Nets game with today's the NBA trade deadline, so, you know, I'm kind of hoping that the Knicks make a move or two so that it becomes a you know kind of a meaningful game to go to. But it's my son's birthday Saturday, so he'll be 15.
Damn.
And 15 on the 20th, so we're going to a Knicks game tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I would know for sure if today was Friday, because I'd be in a fucking rush right now.
Yo, to put things into perspective, when I became friends with you on here, your son was 7 years old, dude.
Yeah.
That shit is like, when you talk about Facebook, like, Facebook is everywhere. It's a normal word that coming out of people's mouth on TV shows. It's even an answer on fucking Family Feud. I mean, it's everywhere now. But to be able to see somebody, like, I got friends on here that I haven't talked to since high school or seen, and I've watched their kids grow up right into graduation, basically, just right on here through pictures. It's insane.
Yeah. And then we get to share Black History Month, which is always a beauty.
Bro, you've been on point with that. I think I didn't know you met that many black people. It's pretty impressive, dude.
Yeah, no. I'm big amongst the black community. I consider myself the non-political Bill Clinton of the black community. The blacks dig me.
Dude, I feel
that's how I bill myself, at least. I mean, the chocolate honey certainly have expressed that I fall into what they consider to be a likable category for a honky.
Nice.
And it's obvious from the Daily Posts that black men at least tolerate me long enough for photos. So that's always exciting as well.
Yo,
so,
are we doing this American Angel show or what?
You know, I haven't been following that. If it's in the area, I'll definitely go. I mean, they were always a great show.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, I don't know any of the other band members now because, you know, Rocco's the only original guy from the band. Steve Evans is like some big record producer out on the West Coast, like legitimate guy apparently.
Yeah.
Peter DeGeorge, the original guitarist, and Dan Monchek are doing other things, as is Eric Nilla, the original the original drummer. So, you know, it's Rocco and a bunch of other guys is, you know, but I mean, I would definitely do it.
All right. Well, it's going to be at Stone Pony, and I know it's in April at some point, so I definitely want to go because I've never been in a show. When they were blowing up, I was on the other coast, but all my friends liked him, and everybody talks about him, and Rocco's funny as shit, dude.
You should do a podcast with him.
I do want to do one because, dude, back in the day, I had a girlfriend that actually cheated on me with Rocco,
And really?
And I always heard the name, and I knew the band. And I'm like, this bastard. But I was so young, man. So
who was the girl? Can you name her?
Yeah, I can name her. Her name is Dawn Fatula.
Oh, I know Dawn.
Yeah.
She actually used to live in Skytop. She was...
No, London Terrace.
No, she lived in Skytop.
Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely Skytop, because she lived actually right down from the Skytop pool. And I know that because I had family that lived over there. But my ex from high school... in grammar school, actually, this girl Michelle McCormick was really tight with her, and at the time, I guess Dawn and Sherry Mafucci
and Deirdre Patch.
Yeah, they were all very tight. So I hung out, obviously through with Dawn through Michelle, but I had actually known of Dawn when I was a kid going to Skytop Pool because she used to go there. And she was a cutie. Dawn was a good-looking girl. I remember big eyes and big hair. That's what I remember. I don't remember much else. And I haven't seen her on Facebook, so I don't know if she's part of the online community or not.
She's not, I don't think. But, dude, I used to work with her dad at Club Bonet, my first job. And then,
no, that's funny.
And he used to always be like, my daughter this, my daughter that. So I never really knew who she was. Then she used to come over to my house with Sherry and Dawn swimming. And, dude, I was just like, damn, look at this girl. She's so fucking fine. And then one day we're just in the pool. And Sherry and Dolores got out, and me and Dawn were just kicking it in the pool. And then one thing turned into, that's when I think my sister was like, dude, really, my friend? But we went out for a while, and then, she was actually fun, but I used to walk from my house in Morgan to her house. At this point, she moved to London Terrace, right behind that windmill place, in the fucking, the orange or the yellow brick building. It was definitely London Terrace at the time. But that area,
yeah,
man,
she must have moved on up, because when I knew her later in life,
yeah.
She lived with her parents in Skytop, so.
Yeah. So but then it's funny. Then we moved back to New Jersey in 2002, and then Dawn's brother winds up being one of my daughter's best friends in school. I'm like, damn, fucking Dawn's father's still having kids. So.
That's funny, man. I mean, it's a small world. And I would say, for your sister having problems with you, liking her friends is, she probably should have had, less hot friends.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean,
you know what I mean? I mean, if your sister is going to go friending up all the hot chicks and then, claiming eminent domain somehow that, it's off limits for you and Michael, to go after them, that's kind of on her. Because, Sherry was, definitely a hottie.
Dude.
She's ridiculous. I'm assuming she still is.
To this day, just flawless. Dude, and she's doing CrossFit now. Dude, she looks better now than ever, man. She's I'm just saying, we all know her. Everybody's going to hear this and go, oh my God, Sherry, they were talking about you, but it's all good stuff. And she's a sweetheart. She came to see my dad. We caught up this one whole afternoon. She's still the same girl, man. She's a great girl. And I'm glad that she's still around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, she was, when she was still on my page, I think she was into bodybuilding there for a little while.
Yeah.
Where she got really bulked up. It was, the last time I saw her, and I think she was kind of retreating from that. Maybe she had switched over to something else and she was losing some of her bulk. But my point was, if your sister's, gonna, put all of her friends on the protected list, I mean, she could have hung out with some fucking ugly ones too, is all I'm saying. Just, if she ever gets a chance to do her life over again, it may be a good rule for her to carry over is, don't lay claim to all the hot chicks in town and then get pissed off when your brothers go after one or two of them.
That's true.
So it would just be good heads up. You know what I mean? It would be nice
if
she thought
of
somebody else once in a while.
Listen, I wanted to do that birthday show where people call in, and I kind of missed the opportunity. You were super busy with stuff, but glad I got to talk to you. And I'm going to be posting this in the next couple days, dude. I don't think I'm going to do it right away. But this is Podcast 7 with Mike Langan. And dude,
Podcast 7.
Dude, isn't that crazy? If in the beginning of the year. I mean, dude, you're part 1 and 2 of Podcast 4. So, you're a returning guest because the numbers are right. I ain't going to lie to you.
A returning guest?
Yeah, dude. You're
nice.
You're one of my favorite originals, buddy. But
nice.
We'll do a call. I actually texted Ricky in the middle of this to have him call in, but he didn't.
Yeah, you're probably on his no-fly list right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. I feel me and Ricky being bipolar together, it just depends on what day. Me and Ricky, basically, we have to align mentally to even get along on a thread or in a post. But I've never met a guy in my life that makes fun of me more that hasn't seen me since 1986. So it's pretty funny.
No, I hear you. I think you guys both go at each other hard. I will say, dropping him because you can't post on his timeline seemed a bit vaginal, is all I'm saying. Because you can weigh in on his threads. You can comment and abuse him.
Yeah.
He at the end of the day, he does. I mean, not that he protects himself too much with what he posts himself.
Yeah.
But I don't let everything that people post. I have that same setup where it doesn't automatically go to my, like, you can post, but I have to approve it before it hits my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and I know you're trying to wrap this up, so I'll be brief. But, you know, some people will take, like, I'll make, like, subtle jokes that involve race.
Yeah.
And then you'll get somebody who posts something like we're attending Klan meetings together.
Like basically, like Tim Hart.
I have to say, Tim's never put, but I've had a few people that we've grown up with that apparently are hardcore racist that just take the most thinly veiled reference to race and assume that we're all going to, like, start burning crosses on lawns. And at the end of the day, people do look, you know, when you start doing business with people, people will pull up your Facebook page at times and, you know, look to see who you're connected with, what you like, et cetera. So, you know, I get that sometimes what people find funny and want to post on your wall is, I've deleted comments recently where I've been like, Jesus Christ, man, this is a fucking Hitler youth rally.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude. So I get it to an extent, but you guys go through this. I mean, didn't you guys drop and block each other? You know, so it's very vaginal.
Here's where I'm at with Rick. Like, he puts shit on my wall, usually just destroys me. Like, it's funny shit, and I leave it up there. But, dude, give me the chance to do that shit, too. I had something really good to drop on his page. And it was basically a midget beating the shit out of big people. And I'm like, dude, this is going to be perfect. And then when I couldn't do it, I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. That's what heated me up, man. And that's, I stand behind that. Only a couple people get a pass, you know, because I get it that they don't, you know, a lot of it's business and a lot of it they do have to check for whatever. But dude, I don't go over the top when I post on someone's wall. I think you probably more than others because you could take it. But a lot of people, like, just give me the same respect that I'm giving you on there. If I got you with full access, give me full access. Because that's what it is. It's not like, oh, this one thinks he's something. He don't have that fucking posted anymore. Great.
Yeah, but I think you're taking something that he does for everyone personally. I can't post on his wall either.
I know, dude. I know.
So it's not like he's got you on the no-fly list and nobody else. He just doesn't want people posting shit on his wall. Because then it becomes a full-time job for him to monitor what people are posting on his wall.
No, you're right.
So again, I mean, you're making a decision, and that, you know, you stand by it, and that's, you know, that's up to you. That's your decision. I just, you
well,
know,
dude,
for me, it seemed a little bit extreme.
I know it seems weak what I just said, but let me strengthen it up a little bit. For the amount of shit that he talks to me, and it's funny, and it's all in fun, and the pictures and all the tear-ups, for him to do that right on my line, I can't do it, not one to him. So it's to me, it's completely unbalanced. Like,
I think you girls are going to work it out one day.
Yeah, we'll see.
I have faith. I have faith that you guys, gals, whatever the hell you want to call yourselves, you guys are going to work it out. So, and honestly, I'm a firm believer. I mean, I still got a list of people. I think eventually everyone that drops someone or blocks someone eventually comes back.
Yeah, it always happens.
Yeah, it's cyclical. People get, you know, wild hairs up their ass. They get upset. You say something. You reference something. Or you don't let somebody post something. And then everyone gets vaginal. And eventually, everyone gets over it. And you two, you know, you have a lot of similarities, you know.
Mike, in ending the show, I'm going to give you like a minute run just to talk to the people, just to say whatever's on your mind. Go ahead.
I don't have much. I would leave you with this, and you didn't get to see it because you did drop Rick, but he posted something today that I thought was pretty funny. It hasn't really taken off, but it's conjoined female twins.
Nice.
It's a meme that says, "I love anal, but my sister doesn't."
Oh my God.
FML, which apparently is fuck my life.
Yes.
I found out this morning. So I saw this. And I was dying, you know, because it's like, you know, it's got everything. I mean, they're like midget conjoined twins, too. So it's got everything a grown boy needs.
Yeah.
But the one thing I would leave you with and your audience with, and I don't think that anyone needs to answer it right now, is if you bang a female conjoined twin, do you get to count it as a threesome? And
I think
that's something that the listeners need to ponder and decide for themselves.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, so... You know, maybe you could carry that over into other podcasts where you get, you know, because somebody like Paul, you know, he's probably a threesome machine, right? I mean, this guy is, you know, have every variance of threesomes that you could possibly have. I'll guarantee goddamn to you, he hasn't had a conjoined twin.
That's true. And now he's going to start looking.
He'll be on. And you know what? He should leave. If he's at a bar talking to a really hot chick and a middle of the road conjoined twin walks in, I say you walk away from the hot chick, because you could always land a hot chick if you're Paul.
Exactly.
How many fucking conjoined twins are you going to find that are going to give that shit up?
I can't believe that Ricky's page has been, his posts have been lame, and then I get off the page and he's coming strong to the hoop.
You missed it.
God,
you missed
it. Fuck.
I'll screenshot it for you and send it there.
You got it, brother. Hey, listen, man, if I'm going to be in town tomorrow working, and I was going to see if maybe I'll hit you up at Buffalo Wild Wings, man. I gotta pay you back for a bet I lost.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to the Knicks-Nets game.
Okay. Well, if I'm still in town on Saturday, there's a chance that it might happen. But if it does, then I'm going to hit you up and see if you're available for that. You can even bring Junior. He don't eat much.
No, he really doesn't. All right, well, let me know what you're doing, man.
You got it, Mike. Hey, man,
I'll talk to you, bro. All right,
man.
Be good, man.
Later.
Bye.